It's been a long week. So, what's up, Mary?
This is Mary.
And this is Katie.
Today we're going to talk about, to what extent do you think upbringing impacts your life in the context of dealing with detachment?
So I feel like it really depends on how much your family's with you during the upbringing stage. So, because if your family's not around, you might have like, I think avoidant or anxious. Yeah, because like, you know how to detach. You don't need the type of love that your family gives you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier for you to detach. But at the same time, if your family is really around, you might get anxious if your partner in the future is not showing you enough. Yeah, care and love.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like it's also, I think it's mostly dependent on how much your family's around during your upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the case where we go between, oh, does it affect her or not? Because that's the separation.
Yeah. But isn't like parents not being around also one type of upbringing? Like in the upbringing, you have to be independent and be, you know, not self-sufficient, obviously, like material-wise, but then you have to be, in a way, your upbringing is to train yourself to be very independent.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's, when we ask this question, to what extent does upbringing impact your life in the context of dealing with detachment? We need to separate the different type of upbringings that occurs to an individual.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, for example, with an upbringing with your family around, all your family around showing you enough care, showing enough attention, that's a difference to another family, which maybe the parents are around, or it's a single parent with a few siblings, or et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. But all this circles down to, I don't think there's a perfect family ever.
I feel like perfect, this is trailing off to this topic, but perfect family, I don't think it exists as well. Because it mostly depends on how, like, for example, how do you define perfect?
Mm-hmm.
That you're happy constantly? I mean, emotions fluctuate. Like,
you know, just imagine just waking up every day and actually be happy.
Yeah, smiling to the sunshine. Yeah. No, I don't think that's possible. Like a perfect family, I think it really depends on the opinion of the child. Mm-hmm. Or like if you ask all of the family members, they're going to be like, we do live a good life. We are financially stable. Kids are getting education. They're happy. They're not bullied at school. They have a stance. They have their own opinions. They are their own beings.
Yeah.
And they're raising to their own personality, their own individuality. I think that's what a good family is. But there's no perfect family because I think a perfect family is also flawed.
I do agree with that. Yeah.
In order to be perfect, you need to make mistakes.
Yeah.
That is really true though.
And if in the context, if we make mistakes, that's not perfect. So, you know, it's malleable.
Because like the reason why we came up with this is because it always occurred to us when we are talking about the way people deal with things, or right now talking about separation, talking about reaching for a new life, talking about, you know, going to, especially us, like we're rising, what is it? We're going to year 13. Like we're going to another phase of our lives, you know, that we're talking about like detachment and things. We always circle back to family and what they taught you and what you were like growing up when we discuss this topic, you know, with friends and stuff.
Yeah.
Because in the end, it's always like, oh, da-da-da-da. Oh, I feel really sad about da-da-da. And then this or that is leaving. And I'm going to have to do da-da-da-da. And I feel really bad about being distant with someone, family, or, you know, generally having to live not with our family later on in college.
Yeah.
You know, like when we talk about that, it's like I realize people have different reactions to that. And then when we actually talk about why do they have those reactions, it's like, oh, right, they were raised this way. Like they were raised, you know, they didn't really have their family around. So obviously they're not too anxious about being alone. Whereas, you know, those who always had their family around, supporting them and always, you know, being there for them.
You know, this makes me think whether detachment is forced or not. Because some detachment, it's whether, oh, I experienced this in the past because with my family. So therefore, I must detach because I don't want to experience the same thing. If I detach myself, I do it on my way, in my way, then this won't happen. Like, I won't experience the emotions that comes in package with detachment.
So there's like the ones where you choose to actually detach in order to like protect yourself in a certain way because you have been hurt by something along the lines of that before.
Yeah, so I feel like there are different attachment. Like, obviously we're talking about detachment styles. Mm-hmm. I think that's the way of how we detach. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I feel like there are causes of detachment.
Mm-hmm.
And for causes of detachment, I feel like it could be based on like the individual's own reason.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be someone who caused it mm-hmm, in your mm-hmm. in childhood. The environment. Yeah?
Yeah.
Or yeah, someone who caused it in their childhood. So mm-hmm. therefore they, which is kind of the first one that I said, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And I just see a lot of those online, you know, like of those where it's like, especially if we go through like Instagram reels right now, it's like, oh, this happened to me before, so I'm going to do it first this time so I don't get hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah, I feel like yeah. that is actually avoidant
mm-hmm.
attachment style, because avoidant, from my experience, I have met a few avoidant mm-hmm. attachment style people, and they're like, they do with themselves in order to not experience what they have experienced in childhood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that may cause a harm to people that they're friends with or in relationships with, because they don't know exactly what they're doing, because they do it. They detach without communication.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Also, like, their friends, they're going to be lost. You know, it's like, oh, what happened? You know, communicate, please. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's actually really agonizing for both sides.
Because yeah, yeah.
the person who is detaching, who is actively being like, hey, I don't want this to happen again. Like, they feel pain. They feel like, oh, because I don't want to experience this again, I am going to have to detach. I am going to have to protect myself in that way. Even though I really value this friend, even though I really like this friend, or even though I really love this person, I feel like I should do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the person who, the friend, would also feel like, hey, what the hell is going on? You know? It's-
yeah, I feel like, okay, this is another thing that trails up, but it's a really mm-hmm. Popular thing about how anxious and avoidant
mm-hmm.
these two forming a relationship. That's what's
yes.
agonizing for both.
Yeah.
Because avoidant, they're like, I'm doing this for my own good. I'm not good enough. She deserves better. He deserves better. So therefore, I will detach myself. They deserve better. So I will detach myself because they don't deserve better. And I'm not going to tell them because they should know it themselves if they see the bigger picture. Because I'm seeing the bigger picture. And I've experienced this. So yes. therefore...
And that's why the friend, the other person might feel like, or why are they so selfish?
I feel like, yeah, on the other hand, the anxious is like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's like...
And then they get anxious, they overthink.
Yeah,
and then they're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
what is going on? Am I doing something that's not right? Am I actually not good enough? So both sides think they're not good enough. Both sides are insecure, causing a problem. And this makes... Actually, I feel like avoidance on the advantage of this
mm-hmm.
because even though they're in pain, but... they cause them themselves.
Yeah, I do agree with that. That's what trails back to family. You know, it trails yeah, yeah. back to all of that. Because it's like, you cannot blame family. You can't blame the circumstance that they grew up in. If they had a choice, if they had a choice to live in a happier family, to live in a family that's like supporting you with love, care, affection, and just unconditional love, then perhaps they might have, you know,
I think
been okay, different. So-
If we talk about perfect family, like
yeah.
the definition we just made for a perfect family,
uh-huh.
like it's still flawed, but like you have all the needs.
All the emotional needs, financial,
yeah, et cetera,
material needs. Yeah.
yeah. I feel like that creates a secure and perhaps anxious person in a relationship or a friendship. Because if they lose that in the friendship circumstance where, oh, they have a perfect family, but why is my like... I'm not used to this. I'm not used to sometimes my friend just ignoring me mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. just being cold to me. That makes me overthink. Or it might build up to a secure
mm-hmm.
attachment style
mm-hmm.
because the parents might teach them, oh, you're the best. You don't need someone else to
yeah,
provide
yeah,
you
yeah.
the things you need mm-hmm. because you provide yourself everything you need. And that will, that foundation they build during their childhood will provide them a mindset that they're good enough. They don't need anything more. Like, they need something, but, like, it's...
It's fine if they don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Exactly.
I'm still going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's why. It really trails back to talking about family and things. Because, also, it's kind of agonizing for both sides. Because, you know, you can talk about how, oh, there's definitely, like, one side where it's... Like, there's a spectrum for this. It's obviously not definitive. And then there's one side that's more like, hey, I'm detaching because I have to. And I feel like I have to. And there's the other side where it's like, oh, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, it's not just relationships, right?
Yeah.
But like life, in context of life, like I feel like attachment styles change mm-hmm. throughout your life. It depends which people yes. you're interacting with.
Yes. Yeah. So let's take a time to reflect on that. That is a really deep realization.
Yeah. For my experience, I know that I used to be avoidant.
Mm-hmm.
I avoid any sort of intimacy
mm-hmm.
because I am not comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then going into friendships and relationships, I realized, oh, I do need this because I never got in contact of this. Oh, it's so new to me. It's fresh. Mm-hmm. It's something that I need. I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
When I got contact with it, I became anxious.
Was it perhaps that you're afraid of losing it?
Yeah, because I never got it before.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is why I was avoidant mm-hmm. because I knew that if I get in contact with this, I can't mm-hmm. separate myself with it.
I think personally for me, it's just when I was always really welcoming to these connections and being intimate and being very close with people. But then I realized once it got to a point where it's like, oh, I got people around me, it feels like you're seeking for purity more. You're seeking for that pure, I am just close with you without any, but you just seek for something more truthful. What I realized after, you know, being very close with people or being very, I don't know how to explain this, but you just feel like it's not true. You feel like it's temporary, tangible, but then it's not going to stay there for long. You feel like it might just slip away at some point.
Mm.
It's like, I can be really close to you. But then at a certain point where you are kind of fulfilled in that aspect, where it's like, okay, I have friends supporting around me. I have like those around me. But I think it might be human nature that you seek for more. You just seek for longevity. You just seek for truthfulness. You seek for absolute like unconditioned things from people who are conditional. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like they're not your family. They're not responsible for you forever. I guess that's what occurred with me. And then that kind of, on the other side,
mm-hmm.
caused me to be less close with people. Because I know, okay, so this is probably not going to last. And I don't want to expose myself to you guys. Like, I don't want to
mm-hmm.
show you my true self if nothing is going to last mm-hmm. that long. And if things are so temporary, to me, in my mind, it's like, oh, that's not true. That's no, as in like this closeness, it's not true. It's not valid. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So then a part of me just repels it. So yeah.
I think that's the context of friendship and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But we extend it to other aspects of life, such as workplaces,
mm-hmm.
teacher-student relationship.
Yeah.
I feel like attachment style doesn't really come.
It doesn't.
Because when you're in a professional place,
yeah,
you can't really... yeah, you can't really.
It's like, teacher, you said you were gonna teach me next year. Why'd you dip? Why are you gone?
I feel like that's.
I think it manifests. It's like it shows in different ways, but it's not obvious. But then you do feel it's not applicable. you sometimes do feel like, for example, for workplaces, right? If we're talking about like attachment styles, you may feel anxious when you know your job is not guaranteed.
I feel like that's not really attachment style, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, maybe it's not in the sense of it's like an emotional attachment style, but you may be really hooked onto this job, this profession, this hobby, or this something.
That, you know, that makes me travel back to think the topic that we talked about, how whether detachment is forced or not forced. In a circumstance that is not forced, for example, it's the end of the year, everyone's gonna leave.
Yeah.
You're separating. Yes. It feels like a feeling of relief. Feels like a feeling of a tint of nostalgia in it, even though it's not nostalgic yet. But you just feel like, oh, it's part of my memory. It's gonna flow down there. I feel like that is like secure. Like you're confident with it.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
not gonna make you anxious. You know that you're stepping into a new part of life. I don't think that's forced. Because it's something that naturally happens to everyone. So you're like, oh, it happens to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relief. But in the context of, oh, I'm getting kicked out of school.
Fuck. Oh, yeah. You're sorry.
But I'm getting kicked out of school.
Yeah.
You're going to be like,
oh, I'm forced.
I'm leaving all my friends. Okay. let's give an example of how like this detachment is forced by not getting good grades. That's how you got kicked out. Why am I just not good enough? I could have tried my best. I think that would make you anxious.
Yeah.
I need to detach my friends. We're going to drift. Come on. Everyone's going to drift.
Yeah.
And unless you're, you know, when you're really good with someone, probably wouldn't drift. But like in the most
you and me.
Cases, with the most cases,
yeah,
with the most cases that you drift, you will be like, I might need to detach first. This is me, my mistake. I step into my new era in my new school. I need to drift. I can't let my past linger on me. So therefore, I drift. I probably avoidant attachment style. Because you need to detach yourself. First, it might be embarrassing for you. Second, it's upsetting that you're leaving your friends. And it's your own problem. You're not good enough. But at the same time, your friends probably understood. So that's why that shows avoidancy.
I think forced and not forced detachment would really determine how you react to it. I think this is the main point. I think forced and not forced detachment will determine the way you react to it and the way you deal with it. So it varies in different contexts. And I think that definitely is a determining factor.